At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
So the fact that God allows this to happen doesn't excuse, all right, our responsibility for the actions we take. It doesn't release. Bible teaches that clearly, that everybody's going to stand in front of God for what they do. But He's still sovereign. Many people have a problem with it because they don't understand. He's sovereign in the fact that He chooses to do this. Oh, you want to go do stupid? I'll let you do that. You do it with your kids. Oh, really? So you really think? Okay, you go right ahead. So they learn a lesson in that sense. I'm not saying every time that happens, that's intended for us to learn a lesson. But we want to, many people say, if God's sovereign, that gets rid of my responsibility. No, because you don't, sovereign also involves that permissive process. What I want you to understand is this. I believe for Christians, for believers, His acts, He does act directly, even in the case of sin. In this sense, right here we see out of 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation, I memorized it this way, no temptation has seized you except for that which is common to man. Okay, so I know it says it different on the screen because it's a different version. But God is faithful to who? Us. That He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but that with temptation He will also provide a way out. So every time He says, I'm going to allow you, I'm going to permit you to, He also gives you another option. He doesn't say, I permit, so therefore. No, as believers, He always gives us an opportunity, another way, a provide a way that we can escape what? Temptation, then temptation issue. That's the context of that scripture. Then we have God's revealed will. So we talked about His sovereign will, both the creative and permissive. So we're at the second perspective here, all right, is God's revealed will. Those aspects of God's will in which He has chosen to reveal to humanity. The aspects of God's will which He has chosen to reveal to us. The revealed will. That's pretty straightforward, right? But again, it has twofold. It's called general revelation. We've talked about this when we've done systematic theology. General revelation and special revelation, which they in themselves can be broken down further. And that's why I put this in notes for you today, because I knew I was doing this way. Okay? So general revelation is that which God has revealed in creation. And where's our main chapter verse on that? Now. New Testament. Romans 1 and 2. Okay, that's our main verses on that. And so even in this area, we have what would be considered external revelation. That is external to us and internal. There we go. External. What God has revealed in nature, Romans chapter 1. Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so that man is without excuse. So, what this means is basically this. What is revealed about God in creation is sufficient to constrain humanity to worship and to give glorification to the Creator alone. There's enough information there that man should be able to go, I'm going to worship and give the glory of all this to the one who created it. But what does man tend to do? Build a statue. Make the creator a mountain, a sun god. If you've ever read Calvin's Institutes in book one, much of that is related to this concept that God has revealed himself. And he talks about various, you know, this is a long time ago, okay, in the 1500s, that he's talking about the various cultures that God's, I know you guys don't really care, but you should read it anyway. It's good. Okay? So in that, now we have the external, what's in nature, people should be able to say there is a creator. I'm going to give him the glory for what's done. I'm not breaking all that apart, okay? But also within general revelation, we have internal revelation, okay? Internal revelation. So, basically this, out of chapter 2, it says this, chapter 2 of Romans. For when Gentiles, unbelievers, who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law unto themselves, even though they don't have the law. Is everybody following that? Even though the people who haven't read the Bible, by nature, do what the law requires. Treat their neighbor nice. Do honest business. They are a law unto themselves, even though they don't have it. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness. Their convicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. Okay? So what this is telling us is there's a moral consciousness people have. You ready? Here's the big one. Human rights. Wherever you are, people want to say, wait a minute, people have the right to be treated a particular way. Who said? There's something in our brain that says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you want to be a slave? No. Do you want to be oppressed? No. Do you want to be discriminated against? No. There's something in us that does that. And the scripture, by the way, tells us, though, I know you've got this in your own head, but you break your own rules. Whether you know it's God's law or not, there are people who you don't treat the way you want to be treated. There are people who you do not give that same, I'll call, right to. So you're without excuse because you have a law of rules in your own head and you know you've broken your own rules, which are really a reflection of God's law in creation. It doesn't do this. Like when we talked about that external general revelation in nature, it might tell us that there is a creator who should be worshipped. It doesn't tell us how he should be worshipped. Likewise, this moral conscience doesn't tell us this. Why do I have these feelings of right and wrong and guilt and not guilt? Why do I have those at all? Why is something wrong to start with? And here's one thing that you'll have to ask. If you habitually, we see this in like Nazi Germany, you ask how people got to that point, or in other places in their life, you see, when people habitually act in a certain way, particular way, they stop, that feeling of guilt goes away. The first time that guy beat his wife, he felt bad about it. The 15th time, it's her fault. Well, then what happens when it goes away? Is it still wrong now? Because that feeling's not there. That guilt. So you know, Stalin could kill millions of people. So does that make it wrong? This is the problem with relative morality we see today. You know, your wrong's not my wrong, this kind of thing. Well, then who becomes the determiner of that? Okay? In both cases, an external revelation and internal, we're left with uncertainty. This is where we get to special revelation. What God has revealed about himself in the Bible. That's special revelation. This is what we would call the preceptive, not perceptive, preceptive. And what I mean by that, what's a precept? A rule, a principle, okay, that give us understanding of what we're supposed to do. God's revealed will in the Word of God what tells us what we are to do. In the general revelation side, we're left with how do we do this? But when we get to God's special revelation and his perceptive will, he gives us that clearly. So whether or not these laws are written in your conscience or you've read the Bible, you're still accountable to God for breaking them. And we go back all the way back to that first one. God is not causing you to do it in a direct sense. He is not culpable for that process. We are culpable for that process, okay? Let me see what else I have. There we go. All right. This is an important thing you've got to understand. God's self-revelation is purely, strictly voluntary on God's part. We act like God would have some obligation, though, to tell us how to do this then. God, after all, it's not fair if you doesn't tell us. Let's go back to the very first scripture in Daniel. I'm God, I get to do what the heck I want. You're nothing. His revelation to us, both in nature and in scripture, is simply out of his mercy, grace, and love. That Bible you hold in your hand is there by God's mercy, by God's grace, and by God's love, because he voluntarily gave it to you so you might know who he is. All right? Man, I wish I had time. Yeah, I was reading a Jewish Hebrew philosopher this week at school. I wish I had the time to break that down, but I don't. But here's the next one that's important. God's dispositional will. This is huge. Your theology will go running amok if you don't understand this. All right? That is, that kind of will in the scripture, in Bible, describes God's heart, that is his disposition or his attitude towards his creation, okay? It reveals what's pleasing to him. All right? So you'll recognize these scriptures. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing or desiring or willing, depends on which version you have, that any should perish. Is that his declarative will? Has he declared that so? No. That's why many of your versions say wishing, desiring. It represents his disposition towards sin and you. His disposition toward his attitude towards that. Ezekiel 33:11. As I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. This is, dude, get on the internet, get on the radio, listen to Matt's show, whatever you do, and people, oh, he's not loving God because he wouldn't want, he let people die, he let people get, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. He says, wait a minute, my disposition is I don't get pleasure out of the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. That's God's disposition towards the process. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to have the knowledge of the truth. Don't confuse that, okay, with God's sovereign will. Please don't do that. Scripture speaks in these from these perspectives, and you'll find them in various places throughout Scripture. And Scripture's going to give us our doctrine. So we've got to look at Scripture. R.C. Sproul, in his book Following Christ, it was published in 1991, all right, all things being equal, he says, God does desire that no one perishes, but all things are not equal. Really? Sin is the thing that causes it to be unequal. God is also not willing that sin go unpunished. Did you catch that? All the people is God's desire that no one gets punished. But it's also God's desire that justice be done. He desires his holiness to be vindicated. Dr. Sproul continues. When his perceptive will or prescriptive will is violated, things are no longer equal. I just like the way he puts it. Yeah, in the perfect world. But the problem is, when Adam and Eve took that fruit, there went the perfect world. So I'm going to end with this. What is God's will for your life? And we We can go through, you can put those categories into your own life, but let me just give you scripture, 1 Thessalonians, and I do have them on slides, but I'm not fighting the thing again. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, and then verse 7 through 8. For this is God's will, your sanctification. What's that? Yeah, you walking out your profession. You living. Oh, as a matter of fact, he goes on to say in that same verse that you abstain from sexual immorality. That's God's will. Listen to me, young people. That's God's will. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to get more advice on it. You don't have to go see your school counselor. It's God's will that you be sanctified. Live holy and stay away from sexual immorality. Then he goes on to other things there in 1 Thessalonians. 2 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God. Boy, that's pretty clear. Well, I need to finish, though, with 1 Thessalonians, sorry, with verses 4, 7 through 8. For God has not called us to impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, I want you to understand, he requires sanctification of holiness of you. But I gave you the Holy Spirit to help you solve that problem. That whole 1 Corinthians 10:13 thing, the Holy Spirit's there to make a way. See, we sometimes think make a way means another option between two choices, necessarily. Okay? No, I don't make the choice at all. I choose to abstain. That's an option, right? And the Holy Spirit's there in us, convicting us to do that. Now we'll go to 2 Peter 2:15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Your Christian testimony is what that's talking about. Now, here's the part about your Christian testimony. The world will hate you for it, but they will expect you to do it. All right? You're the only honest guy at work or at school. Everybody will hate you. But because you're being a Christian, you better be that. And when you're that, I don't like it because it makes me feel guilty. You're the only one that's not willing to cheat on the test. And that's just going to make the curve go crazy on all of us. And as soon as you cave and say, all right, I'll do that, go, yeah, you Christians, I told you. That Christian testimony, this man, this is God's will. That you represent him before the foolish, ignorant world. That always stirs him up when you call him foolish and ignorant, by the way. Everybody talks about Jesus and why all of God just say nice, wonderful things. You know, he didn't call people names. Yeah, he did. He calls the world ignorant and foolish. But we'll keep moving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is the will of God. Ready? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. All circumstances? I don't know about that. But that's the will of God, that you do that. How do you do that? Well, he gave you the Holy Spirit for that. And I'm not breaking all that down. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 20. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but wise. Making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. We already talked about the foolish ones, right? But understand this, understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine. Wait. Is it in God's will or not God's will for me to drink? I don't know. I could tell you this much. If you get drunk, it's outside of his will. That I can tell you. Would you define that for me? What do you mean by that? What's the state level? A blood alcohol level. 08. That don't take much, does it? So but whose definition of drunk? You can get into that all the way. Welcome to relative moralism. All right? But do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another. Get that? This is the will of God. You ready? Addressing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You didn't know what we did on Sunday morning was the will of God, did you? By the way, you can't do that at home. How do I know? I can't address and sing to another when another isn't there. okay? You can't if there is another there. Right, right. A body of believers isn't based on how many people there are. I understand that. But don't worry, I'll hit you with it in the end. Okay, but that's the will of God, that we sing and make melody in our heart and sing these psalms and hymns to one another. Oh, I like that. No, well, y'all may not like that because you hear me sing. My family has to do that, all right? Giving thanks always. There's that thing again. All that thanksgiving all the time. And for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. If I had the time, I'd tear that last phrase apart. Because what I see today in the church is this. I'm under grace, and you can't tell me what to do. That's legalism. Wait, let me read this again. It's the will of God that you submit to one another out of reverence for who? Not for them, for Christ. So you have a legalistic family member or whatever you want to call it, you submit to them out of reverence for Christ. You don't claim your, oh man. Romans chapter 2, or 12, verses 1 and 2. Being transformed, y'all know this, right? By the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So I'm going to ask you a question. How do I renew my mind that I would know the will of God? The revealed will of God. Okay? In special, particular revelation. That's how I renew my mind. Sitting at home and watching television doesn't renew your mind. Nothing wrong with television. Please don't take it that way. Okay? It's your mind is being renewed so that you would know the will of God. Where did he tell us he gave us the will of God? In the Bible. Well, I thought I just prayed till I got the eebie-jeebies. And I got some feeling, and now I know it's God's will. Yeah. I'm reading, the better you know a person, the more you become acquainted with them, the more you know what they want, what their desires are. If I go to a particular store, I know my wife desires me to pick up flowers at that store for her and bring them home so she can put them on the table so nobody can see across from each other at the table. I mean, that's what they're there for. Every time the elders meet at my house, I have to move the flowers so we can see each other. Okay, but my point is I know her well enough. If I go to that place, they have great flowers, and in particular for my wife, at a good price, all right, that I get these flowers. I know that, all right? Young person, you might this way in your head or say it to your friend. Oh, my dad wouldn't want me to do that. Why? Because your dad knows you and you know dad. How do you know the will? You got to get to know him. You got to spend the time with him in his word, immerse yourself in the word, and in prayer and meditation. Meditating on the Lord, not that Eastern om thing, okay? All right? All the time, one of the top questions, and R.C. Sproul says this, by the way, and various other preachers, one of the top questions they get is, how do I know the will of God for my life? We throw down a fleece. We cast some dice. No, how do you know the will of God? Well, he's revealed it in nature. He's revealed it in Scripture. And renew your mind by that so you might prove, know the will of God. How do you end this sermon? That's it. Pretty straightforward. Don't use Gideon's fleece and in his example. Well, it's in the Bible. Yeah, so is offering your kid as a sacrifice, but I don't recommend it. All right? Things, all kinds of things in the Bible doesn't mean God sanctions them. It means he permitted and allowed them. Notice what Gideon says as he presents and asks God about the fleece. Do not be angry with me, God, but one more time, prove yourself. Oh, come on, don't tell me you've never been there. But what if he didn't? This is the will of God, that you give him thanksgiving. And, oh, woo-hoo, preacher, that sounds good because God, your little girl got healed, mine didn't. I understand. Doesn't change the will of God. Circumstances don't determine the will of God. I know, Gideon, you're called to go do this. I know you're from the wrong family. I know you're a coward, but that don't change a thing. We like to think that because culture's changed, it changes God's word. No, it doesn't. Well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, until you pick the parts of the Old Testament you like and the parts you don't. Okay, so leave that alone. But it's God's will that you know, read his word, speak to him about it, listen to him about it, and you'll be amazed how you'll find you have a whole lot less uncertainty about the will. God, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do about this marriage. It's coming apart. Love her. I don't know, God, what can we do about this marriage? Respect him, honor him. Yeah, but see, my situation is different because my husband, really. No, God's will doesn't change in that sense. Let's stand. I know that was a lot, came at you, hurry, okay? If you're interested, again, in those notes, so you can sort of look over those things I fly through, because I know that's what you want to do, right? Because you go home and contemplate the sermon, right? I'll be glad to send you those notes if you email me, PastorRandy@kindredbible.org. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you didn't leave us up to creation. You didn't leave it out there for us to just walk in uncertainty, to guess for ourselves. But God, out of your kind grace, out of your great mercy, you chose to give us your revealed word, to tell us how to live, how to walk, how to think. But I don't want to be told that. But God, help people who hear this message to recognize this. That your word is where the answers are for their life. Father, and as we get in it, glorify yourself, magnify your name as you reveal yourself to the mind of man. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.